239-1310, 239-1310 is after whose name, but something a little bit more serious. The folks at Indianapolis Power and Light Company, if you live in Indianapolis and Marion County, these are the people that, give you your electricity, your lights, your heat, maybe, and other stuff. They are getting ready to spend a half of $1 billion, $511 million, in new environmental controls at the plant down in Petersburg, Indiana. That's almost before you, till you get to the Ohio River. And the plant on Harding Street, that big thingamajig, just before you get to 465 on your way to Bloomington. And these are the coal-fired power-generating plants, and this is to try to clean up the emissions in the air and what have you. It's also going to lead to new construction jobs, they say, in Petersburg and Pike County. But I don't care about Petersburg and Pike County. I want some jobs here in Marion County. Greg Fennig is the Vice President of Community Relations for Indianapolis Power and Light. He joins me live. Welcome.
Thank you, Amos.
Is this a big deal?
This is a big deal. It's a huge deal. You know, Indianapolis Power and Light, in the last about 10 years, has spent about $600 million on environmental controls to meet EPA standards. And now, with the new standards that were enacted in March of 2012, we're going to be spending another $500 million over the next 3 years. And that's really going to go after mercury as one of the key emissions that the EPA is about. And, you know, this is a serious thing because IPL is proud of its track record of providing safe, reliable, and affordable power to its customers. And in doing this, it is a big deal, but when it's done, we still believe that we're going to achieve that mission. With all the environmental controls that we have on tap right now, it looks like people's cost for electricity is going to go up by 2 to 3% a year each year for the next number of years. So it's going up, but it's not going up in huge sticker shock.
Is the reason you're doing this is these plants operate on coal. This is coal that comes from Indiana. We're not getting coal from Canada or New Mexico or someplace. So this is we're keeping the coal in state.
That's right.
But our coal's kind of dirty, so we've got to clean this up.
Well, all coal has different elements to it, and you know, all coal is going to have an element of mercury. It also has an element of sulfur. And so this process really goes to clean those things up. The bottom line is one of the reasons why we have some of the lowest cost electricity in the country is because of the plentiful coal and because it's an inexpensive fuel and because we've managed that process, I think, very well. And so baseload energy, you're going to have coal and gas and those kinds of things that are going to be the primary fuels. You know, renewables are great. In fact, we've done a lot of renewables. We're right now eighth in the United States for the amount of wind that we have. We have about 100 megawatts of solar projects that are in queue by developers and customers in our service territory.
Wait a minute. Some of IPL's power is coming from wind.
Oh, yeah.
Where are the windmills at?
The windmills, we have the Hoosier Wind Park that is up in Benton County.
The one on up on I-65. That's us.
Yeah, one of those comes. IPL has a contract to buy the power off that for the next 20 years.
Oh.
And we also have, you know, we're part of the thing called the Midwest Independent System Operator, which is kind of a regional reliability coordinator.
Right.
And so it's this big grid, and we also have some wind in Minnesota that we use, and we have that because it's very, very reliable wind, and it comes from a different part of the service territory. So if the wind's not blowing in Indiana, it might be blowing in Minnesota.
You guys need to put a big sign up next to the interstate saying you're passing IPL windmills that are turning lights on in Indianapolis so folks would know.
There you go. Or broadcast it on the Amos Show.
There you go. See, now we've learned something. Now when I drive up there, because you want to fall asleep when you see those windmills turning after you leave Lafayette, now we'll know that that's helping power here. But here's the there's some concern. There's a hearing, I guess, tomorrow down at the Indiana History Center, the Utility Regulatory Commission kind of having a public hearing about this. Correct me if I'm wrong. You, of this half a billion dollars, in the cost of this. Mm-hmm. How much of that cost do you want the customers of IPL, whether it's the residential customers or here, the radio station, business customers, or the state? Because the state heard about this and they were worried. The budget director of the state was just here. He was worried about whether his power bill is going to go up for the state office building. That's mm-hmm. a big bill. How much of that is going to have to be borne by the ratepayers, in your recommendation? How much of it by the stockholders of IPALCO AES?
That's a really good question, and that's the process that's taking place at the IORC. What we do is we file this petition with the Indiana Utility Regulatory Commission to get their approval for this project, and they conduct the field hearings as part of their process. And with that, the IORC will determine what part of that is paid for by ratepayers and what part of that is not paid for by ratepayers. You know, in a lot of these situations, the majority of these environmental controls end up being paid for by the customers as a way to be able to make sure that we have the generation available, again, to provide safe, reliable, affordable energy to our customers. All of these controls are good controls, but they're done in effort to achieve new EPA regulations.
Is it a little trickier for IPL to do that with ratepayers because we're boxed in geographically in terms of your customers? You're not like Vectren with huge parts of the state, or like Duke Energy, which is most of the suburban areas around Indianapolis. IPL customers are primarily in Marion County. There's some geography outside of that. Is there any way you can get some other customers, or we're getting wind from Minnesota, send some electricity back to Minnesota and make them help pay for some of this?
It'd be nice if we could do all that. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is we have a responsibility to provide this service to our customers and do it in the most cost-effective manner possible. Mm-hmm. And that's why we submit this stuff to the IORC. That's why we have Indiana Coal, mm-hmm. and that's why we have these processes. And right now, Indianapolis Power and Light has some of the lowest rates in the United States. Mm-hmm. And our effort is to keep it there. And having a condensed service territory really doesn't come into any significant play related to the generation of power. Power can be generated in any part of the region and brought into the load center. And that's why we have Harding Street. That's why we have Eagle Valley and Martinsville. That's why we have Petersburg. And so they're all within some proximity, but that energy can be brought to the load center very effectively.
There's going to be construction jobs that this project creates. Are those just basically jobs down in Pike County in Petersburg, or are there jobs here in Marion County?
There will be some jobs here in Marion County. When we talk about these units, we refer to them as our big five units. Mm-hmm. They're the five largest generators that we have. Four of those five units are at Petersburg. And so when you look at this, the vast majority of the work is going to be in Pike County, but there will definitely be work here in Indianapolis.
You're working with an organization called Indiana Environmental Partners for engineering, procurement, and construction. As you all do this, are there parts of this package, parts of the bids, part of the work that minority-owned businesses can be a part of?
I can't speak on behalf of IEP. But in a typical process, they're going to be having a number of subcontractors that are going to help them. Most of the labor is going to be local labor. And so anybody that provides the kind of services that they're going to need in this process that's local is going to have an advantage of bidding on that. And I would think that the more local, the better, because it's going to reduce their costs in that process. But they're going to be hiring and they're going to be doing the subcontractors for
us. Well, let me ask this question, though. Given that you're the electricity supplier for Marion County, that's every household here.
Right.
26% of all households in Marion County are African-American. That's before we add in our Hispanic and Asian brothers and sisters. So why would there not be some minority goals that IPL has placed on your vendor so that some minority-owned businesses get a piece of this action?
That is also a very good question, Amos. And as we go through this process, our first priority is to make sure that we're doing this as cost-effectively for our customers as possible. We want to be able to make sure that the rates that our customers are going to be paying for this go up as little as possible. In that process, I would think that minority businesses, local businesses, those businesses that have a competitive edge are going to be the best contractors that these folks are going to be able to use. As far as p- putting a stipulation on there and having an exact limit on the on those things?
Didn't say an exact limit. Everybody uses goals, and there have been private sector companies that have done great projects. Their goals, they're, we've had enough of these experiences now that there is a track record of minority-owned businesses in the different things that perhaps can do this and do jobs on time under budget. So if you're getting ready to go to the IURC and ask the ratepayers, that's every household in this county, to pay a little bit more for this project. That includes African-American householders, Hispanic householders, women householders, veteran-owned householders. Why would there not be some goals set by IPL?
I think, again, it goes back to that fundamental goal, and that is we want to do it as cost-effectively as possible.
What IPL doesn't think that minority businesses can do that?
Minority businesses can do that. And you know what? What I said before is I think that those businesses can probably compete maybe more competitively because they typically have lower overhead for these kinds of services. And the competitive market ought to drive that and do what's best for our customers, and then everybody is going to win.
When will this project start?
This project, we're already in the design phase, and this project is going to start yet in 2013 and will take really about 3 years for all this to be completed.
So when will IPL schedule a briefing meeting with minority-owned and women-owned and veteran-owned businesses? I'm sure that you can that you've got Greg Wilson in the mayor's office, director of minority business, on speed dial. He can set it up to do that. I am amazed that you're not, that the IPL is not prepared with this.
And like I said, the competitive market is the key to this. And our contractor, we went out through an RFP process to bring this contractor in that we believe is going to give us the best product of value-wise for our customers.
And this is a local company or a national company?
It's a national company. And it's a partnership.
Have they had experience in other cities utilizing minority, women-owned, and veteran-owned vendors?
I have not talked to the contractor about that. I don't know the answer to that question.
You'll get me the answer, won't you?
Sure, I will.
Because you see my point. We're a city that is a third minority that has had successful track records, everything from the JW Marriott to the stadium, to Market Square Arena, to all of these projects, to the Wishart project, to the Lilly project, the Lilly expansion and stuff. And here our electric utility is having a massive project, and you, as the vice president of community and relations, and if you guys can't tell me that there's a minority participation plan?
I can't tell you how much minority participation is going to take place, but I can tell you that local businesses are going to have an opportunity be provided in this, and I am convinced that minority businesses will be competitive.
All right, but you don't have any goals set.
I am not aware of any goals that are set, but I don't know that. I haven't looked at that.
But on your way back to the office, you're going to call the big people, you know, the super vice president, and ask them, where's the minority? Mr. Brown wants to know where the minority participate. Because you really don't want me to.
I want to answer your question.
You want to answer my question. Because now I've got the listeners getting ready to go. Anyway. We'll talk more because this is a big thing. It's a big deal. $500 million. Keeping our air clean, efficient power, so that IPL can continue to reinforce that they've got the lowest electric utilities, lower than New York, lower than Los Angeles, lower than, of course, Cleveland, and lower than the two Super Bowl cities of San Francisco and Baltimore. And we know they're lower than New Orleans because New Orleans uses hamsters to get their electricity. Greg Fettig, Vice President of Community Relations for Indianapolis Power and Light. Thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.
Thank you.